Glad to see all of you back here this evening. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter number 10. Hope you had a blessed day and this Father's Day. I was watching a Chinese movie 2 days ago. It had a, what they call the things at the bottom where it speaks in English, writes in English, closed captions. Yep, and it was a Chinese man, his wife was talking, and his wife was sick. She had some kind of stomach cancer of some sort, and he was trying to make her feel good, so he was telling her a joke in Chinese. And I was laughing without even reading it, to be honest with you, just watching him tell the joke, because he was laughing at himself. But it was a joke about men, and this being Father's Day, I thought it'd be fitting. He said there was six men sitting out by the rice paddy, and they were talking, eating their lunch, and one of them said, "My wife told me that all men everywhere, all over the world, are henpecked. Every last one of them." And one of them spoke up and said, "That ain't true. There's no way that can be true." And the one said, "Well, everybody that is henpecked, come over here. And everybody that's not, stay over here." And everybody moved over there at one. And they began to think, scratched their head. And said, "Wow, there is somebody that's not henpecked." They said, "Well, why are you not over here?" He said, "My wife told me not to stand in a big crowd." Not that no men are henpecked around here, but I thought that was pretty good in the Chinese movie. I don't know where they got that from, but I enjoyed it. I like watching those foreign movies where you can't, they can say whatever they want. If they're cussing at me, I don't even know it. And if they get too bad, just cut the captions off, and it's just karate. Everybody understands karate. Mark 10. Mark chapter number 10. I'm all the way over here in Romans. I don't know how I got there. And we're going to read, I think, verse 17. We'll start in verse 17 again. I know last week I read that. We went a little bit through that, but I want to go read 17 again down to, I think, 24 tonight. Mark chapter 10, verse. Now let's read back up at 11. Let's start at 11, not at 17. Let's read from 11 on down to 24. Mark chapter 10. Lord have mercy, that's Luke. I'm sorry, my mind is not there tonight. I'm back in Luke now. That may be why I didn't want to start in 10. Mark 10. Verse 17 is where I want it. Exactly. All right. I knew it was on that left column down towards the bottom. In Luke 10, it was on the right column up towards the top. Mark chapter 10, verse number 17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, and take up the cross, and follow me.'" Verse 22. "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter to the kingdom of God?' And the riches and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, saith unto them, 'Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 25. Let's read on down to 31. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished, but out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, we have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. How many that are first shall be last, and the last first. That was Mark chapter 10, 17 through 31. And as we continue our studies through the book of Mark, we learned last week a little background again on the young man. In Matthew 19, 22, he was a young man. That's what it was called. In Luke 18, 18, he was a ruler. And he comes and he asks a question. In verses 17 through 18, he comes in and poses a question to the Lord, starting there, about eternal life. And he called Jesus a good master in verse 17a. He said, when he was gone forth and kneeled and running and kneeled to him, asked, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? His question is about eternal life. And you know, John chapter number 6, last week they came to him, I told you, in verses 28 29, they came and asked Jesus another question, how can we do the works of God? And Jesus basically said this is the work of God, that you believe on whom he has sent. So the young man approaches Jesus kind of with a wrong view of what sin is. And it's getting the question about eternal life, and kind of had a bad view on Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah, is the Savior of the world, but he come to him and posed a question under the title Good Master. He is Master. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, but in this term, what he's saying, a good teacher. He's a good, good master, good teacher. Now, Jesus taught many. You know, in Acts chapter number 1, Jesus began to both do and teach. So he was a good teacher, but he approached him as one that just simply taught the law. Maybe another scribe, another Pharisee, another Levite, somebody that was just teaching the law. Now listen, the law is good and it has its place. If you would, flip over to Galatians 3, hold your place in Mark. Because if you're like me, you'll run back all over the Bible before you get back to it. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 24. Galatians 3 and verse 24. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So we know that he had a wrong view, and a wrong view of the law, a wrong view of sin, what really was sin, what was not sin, the wrong view of Jesus, called him a good master. And we know that, talking about Jesus in verse 18, we know Jesus is God. This young man did not. He come to him as a teacher, and Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. He wanted him to understand that all teachers that you see and what you're talking about, all these good teachers of the law, they're not good. There's one good. Now, we understand. We've got the complete Bible. We've read the scriptures. We understand that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. That's no secret to you and I. It was a mystery to this young man. And he come there posing a question to what might be, a scholar or teacher, asking, what can I do to inherit eternal life there. And with the wrong view and the wrong perception of what was going on, he had the wrong view of eternal life. It's not by works of righteousness, which anybody can do. That's according to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It's by faith in Christ Jesus, and the law had its place. You have sinned and transgressed against the holy and righteous God. Therefore, you need atonement. You need redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. It was to teach us that we could not do it all ourselves. Man must see himself guilty under the law. Because you see there in verse 19, verse 20, he tried to justify himself. Thou knowest the commandments, Jesus said to him. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, again teacher, all these have I observed from my youth. Now go back to Galatians, hold your place there in Galatians chapter 2 this time. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Galatians 2 and 16, the Bible says there, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. He came to him, what must I do? What type of work that I must do? And Jesus labeled them, named them off, not all of them, because Jesus understood where the man was there. And so knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And that is when Jesus began to work on him and get him to understand the law is good. The law has its place. It's a schoolmaster to teach you that you need Christ, that salvation, eternal life, which you seek is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 through 10 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we're bringing about the good works after salvation to say to Jesus and say to God, I'm doing these works to say thank you because I am indebted to you, because eternal life is through and only through Jesus Christ our Lord. So man must see himself guilty under the law, and he must turn from his sin to God in faith and repentance toward God and faith in Christ Jesus to have eternal life. Look with me in verse 21. Verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. So you see, Jesus said, this is a good person. In his heart, Jesus could see this young man has really tried to uphold the law and do right. And Jesus looked at him in love and in tenderness and in compassion. He loved him. He said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast. Give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. He had not kept the law perfectly. He had not kept the law holy. Jesus summed up the law as it was in two things. He said, love God with everything you got, then love your neighbor. Love God. And this is the summation of the law. But he had failed to follow through with Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. It's obvious he had a covetous heart through the things and possessions that he has. Now listen, there is nothing that you have that you can sell to propagate or move or help God come a little bit onto your side to say, wow, he sold that. He's got to really be part of my family. No, this is not what it is. Remember, this young man approached Jesus as a teacher of the law, wanting to know how he might earn eternal life. And Jesus, and he's boasting about all that he's done from his youth. And Jesus wanted to open up his heart, open up his mind, that what he had really not done is the one thing, and that was truly love God with all of his heart. Matter of fact, he had a God unto himself, his possessions. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me. And many of us, many times, it doesn't have to be some stone idol to be a God, dear friend. It does not have to be some kind of totem pole to be a God, a little old statue to be a God. It's obvious here that this young man had a God, and it was his possessions that he had. Verse 22, it says, he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Listen, his problem was he wasn't willing to turn away from that idol. Look with me over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9. Listen to what it says about the Thessalonians. It said this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And listen to what it says. How ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. It's a turning from your God, turning from yourself, turning from your religion. This young man had done all these wonderful things according to law, except a few, and he was not willing to turn from them. He went away sad because he had great possession. Listen, man is forbidden in Scripture to have no other God before him, before God. None. And if it's your possessions, you got to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I hold too tight to my four-wheeler. Lord, I hold too tight to my shotguns. Lord, I put too much into my 401k. But Pastor, is it wrong to have shotguns, four-wheel drives, and 401k? No, not wrong at all. It's not wrong to have a career. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to have hobbies. When those things become in front of God and take the throne of your heart and rule and reign it, your decisions are made by what sits on the throne of your heart. And when you find yourself making decisions over and usurping God's place and making decisions to please those things, different, you got a God. Sometimes, young people, you that are not married yet, it could be even that boyfriend or girlfriend. You place them before God. Be careful. This young man come here and he was excited. Help me to know about eternal life, good master. And when he was confronted with his sin, great possessions, went away sad. Covetousness, having a God before him, he went away sad. A man must come to Christ. Those who come to Christ will follow him, dear friend. Those that come to Christ will follow him. Well, preacher, I don't know about all that. Go with me to John. John chapter 10. Verse 27. John 10, verse 27, my sheep, that means you belong to God, to Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you find yourself running off after some other things and chasing after some other things, you got a God, dear friend. Our whole thing is to be following after the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this man went away grieved. Now, some men cling to their idols. And listen, let me say this. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having money. It's how we operate. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that we're to... a good father leaves an inheritance for his children's children. There's nothing wrong with having money. But let me tell you this about money. Money is a wonderful servant. It's a wonderful servant. But dear friend, it's a horrible master. Wonderful servant. But horrible, horrible master. This young man came looking. This is just as close as you can get to heaven and not make it. You're talking with the Savior Himself. And because He points you to your sin, how many do we know that have done the same thing? It may not be possessions. It may be a lifestyle. Well, I'm not giving up that lifestyle. It's too enjoyable. And they turn away greed and sad. Turn away greed and sad. Look at verse 23. And Jesus looked round about, saith unto His disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For the disciples were astonished at His words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished. This is the second time they were astonished in this passage. Out of measure. I don't know if you've ever been that astonished. I mean, just astonished out of measure. Saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men is impossible, but with God. But not with God. For with God all things are possible. The warning here is to be found that the rich young man had gone away very sad, but sadness did not save him. You know, Esau sought repentance and found it not. You know, Judas sought repentance and couldn't come to find it and ended up hanging himself. This is just because you get sad over the situation. Godly sorrow worketh through repentance. Too many times we're just sad we got caught at something or whatnot. The lesson was for the disciples. Listen, the hindrance of riches. Right here when it says this in verse 23, hardly, it doesn't mean it's impossible. It means it's with difficulty because they cannot overcome the holding of that earthly treasure. Not that it's impossible. He goes ahead and puts that with man. Yeah, it may be impossible. With God, all things are impossible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Rich, poor, black, white, orange, purple, green, whatever color they may be, whatever wealth or whatever status of life. But you have to turn to Him and Him alone. Astonished the disciples in verse 24. Do you understand something? About 90% of Americans, let me get you here, about 90% of Americans are richer than most people in all the world. Well, preacher, I ain't rich. I'm not talking about in our standards. I said in the world. You know, a lot of Americans' problem is our idol. Money. We've gotten so big that we don't need God anymore. A lot of times in the book of Revelation, there was a church there in the book of Revelation that was destitute and naked. Had no idea they needed God. Didn't even realize it. No idea. Listen, I'm talking about, when you look at houses, most people here, you know, even if you live, brother, you know, you might have some live in motorhomes or travel trailers, but that's better than a grass hut. I visited over in India back about 12 years ago or something, maybe 13 years ago. Now, and we went out to some village somewhere or another. I don't even know if we're still in India. We may have been in Burma. We went so far. We drove and drove and drove and drove and drove. Finally come upon something. There was about 16 grass huts out there. And whenever they come out, there was about 150 people. I'm like, they all live in these little 16 huts? Yeah, like just laid up in there. So, you know, when you think about the world and property, if you don't think you have any property, try to move or have a yard sale, dear friend. I mean, you got property, you know, and pretty decent income compared to the world. You know, I know you may not like the minimum wage that we have here in America, dear friend, but listen, you ain't working for a bowl of rice. There's places, that's all they get for the whole day, if they get that. We're pretty well off, you know, as it is here. And good night, pleasures and recreation. Golly, man, you can do about anything, you know, in the world. I've never seen so many putt-putt golfs in my life nowadays. People running around chasing little balls up and down little bitty ditches and hills and hops, paying $15, $16 a game. Wow. Entertainment. Pleasure. Recreation that we enjoy. Dozens of other things that hinder Americans from getting saved. Oh, preacher, we're a Christian nation. We were founded on Christian principles, dear friend, but there's lost people on every corner. And they're hindered by their possessions. They're hindered, by, just like this young man. Well, we're good people. We lay down our lives for people. Yeah, we are great. We are a nation that jumps first at trouble. We are. This man had great possessions, went away sad. And if he didn't get saved after this, he ended up in a devil's hell because of his possessions. You know, the disciples asked him, who then can be saved? Ask ourselves that many times. We go out visiting, go out knocking doors. Boy, what a blessing this morning. I probably preached the sorriest message I ever preached in my life this morning. And the altars was full. Go show the Holy Spirit don't need you. He just uses you if you're available. It was amazing. I looked up, wow, I got up down there and said, Lord, I'm sorry. That was ridiculous. Not that I wasn't prepared, and I wasn't, it just was ridiculous. The Lord don't need you. But if you'll make yourself available, He'll sure enough use you. Amen. This young man here went away sad. Verse 27. With God, salvation is made possible. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. This man had, he had salvation right at his hands. Spoke with him. Conversed with Jesus, the Savior. And went away sad. Went away sad and lost on top of all that. But godliness with contentment is great gain. All he had to, you know, all this I did, but you're right, Lord. All these possessions, I put them before God. He didn't have to go sell. You don't have to be a pauper. This was not the lesson. The lesson was there is something. Maybe your something is one of the other lists up there if you're lost here tonight. You know, maybe you've stolen stuff in your life. You bear false witness. You defrauded. Maybe you haven't honored your mother and father like should. I don't know what it is. But if you're lost tonight, there's something that's hindering you to come to Christ. And you're putting more value in that than you are in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the promise of reward, verses 28 through 31. Verses 28 through 31. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we've left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you. Now Peter's now got his eyes on some possessions. So even after you're saved, if you're not careful, you're looking at the things you got, what you've done gave up for God. Oh, I can't go to the parties no more. Peter said, we've left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered, said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that have left house, brother, sister, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands and persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. My mother and father got divorced when I was 5. I didn't have much of a dad in my life at all. But I'll tell you, since I got saved, Brother Carl, God has brought fathers into my life. And my mother and I have not had a really good relationship like we should. Try and try as I might, just we're not. But God has brought mothers. Sister Nelson, like a mother. I mean, He's brought mothers. Brothers. How many we take up to the men's retreat, Brother Carl, Brother Scott? 15, 16? Brothers. Sisters. You know how many Sunday school teachers we got running around here that are brothers and sisters? How many we had the fellowship hall the other night that tried to support our youth? You better not let the devil trick you. He brings it in different ways. Different ways. Brother Chase, I'm going to tell you, if I had a dad in my life, it'd be just like you is what I want. I tell you, I get over here and work with Brother Chase. I mean, Lord, how much of a man? Peter's got, wow, all these riches. Jesus said a rich man, he can't go into heaven because it's hard for a camel to go through a needle of an eye. That's what it said here. Now Peter is trying to reverse this thing. He wants to make sure he saved. Well, I done gave up everything. I've got nothing. Peter didn't have a wife, by the way. Study it out. He did. I know a lot of folks don't want to believe that. But dear friend, if you've got a mother-in-law, you've got a wife. And I'm not taking a mother-in-law without getting the benefits of a wife. Although my mother-in-law was a blessed mother-in-law. She blessed my heart, made me happy and smiled all the time. But you know what I mean. The Bible's plain. And Jesus had to remind him, Peter, if you're going to be first, you've got to be last. And the last shall be first. It's all about serving. Just serve, being a servant. Lord, hear my. Book of Mark's full of truths. All through there, all through the book of Mark. The great servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, how He teaches us. So if you think you've given up something, you've given up nothing. The price that God paid for you and I to become His children is far more than you could ever give up. Ever. Father, I love You. I thank You, Lord, for these Thy people. I ask You, God, that You would help us to realize how much we need You in our life. In everything that we do, help us to understand that nothing is impossible with You. Help us to put our hands to work for You, to love sinners, to love You, and to love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Choir, come to your place.